Almost 900 people of Japanese ancestry were forcibly removed from Tacoma 75 years ago this week. They gathered at Union Station and were headed to Pinedale Assembly Center near Fresno, California, because of an executive order signed by President Franklin D. Roosevelt. That order authorized the Secretary of War to designate certain areas along the West Coast as military zones, which cleared the way for the mass incarceration. You're listening to KNKX, and there's a Day of Remembrance in Tacoma on Thursday with several events to mark the anniversary. 88.5's Will James spoke with two of the organizers, local historian Michael Sullivan and writer Tamiko Nimura, about the history of Tacoma's former Japantown.
Was the internment of the Japanese from Tacoma, did it play out any differently here than it did in other cities on the West Coast?
The Japanese American community in Tacoma were moved on quickly because of the nearness to Fort Lewis and the strategic concerns about sabotage and fear-infused thoughts that were going on around here after the bombing of Pearl Harbor in December of 1941. And it's almost impossible for us to recreate the period, the time, you know, the United States had never experienced any direct military assault on that level on American soil. So that was the atmosphere, that was the maelstrom that our neighborhood was caught up in. When you went to downtown Tacoma in the 1940s, and actually throughout the first half of the 20th century, Japantown made up a big, significant part of the character of downtown Tacoma.
Tamiko, when you moved to Tacoma, what did it feel like to learn this history?
Okay, so I knew nothing about this history when I moved to Tacoma in 2004. And really, I did not know that we had an entire Japantown until 2014, so some 10 years later. It just really sent me into a little period of mourning for a while. Like, you know, it was so much. There were photo studios, sweet shops. You know, this is not a community that, you know, is sort of, you know, just barely struggling to get by, right? It was an organized community. They had barber shops and unions for the barbers. And the vibrancy of the community really just goes to show you what that first generation lost when they went to camp.
Michael, other West Coast cities still have Japantowns. Seattle, for instance. Why did the Japanese Americans in Tacoma not return in as large numbers?
Tacoma had the misfortune of being in probably the most militant policymaker in the country in 1920. Albert Johnson happened to be the congressman from there. So what that led to was strict enforcement of property ownership and citizenship. So the Japanese merchants and residents here couldn't own their shops, they couldn't own their houses, they couldn't own the farmland that they were making a living off of. So when the Japanese American community were sent away for 3, 4, 5 years, the buildings that they didn't own either deteriorated rapidly or were filled with another, you know, rent-paying tenant. There were families that came back, but by then the dense commercial neighborhoods, that kind of stuff had gone away. And the Japanese families that came back pretty much were scattered throughout the whole city. It's got to be mentioned that our mayor, Harry P. Kane, and the city council, only in Tacoma was there outspoken opposition to the executive order for removing the Japanese. We were the only, Seattle, the governor in those days, I mean, everybody who, all the authorities in our state and really up and down the West Coast, all just completely blindly supported the loss of liberties that came with the internment of the Japanese. Only Tacoma stood up and said no. And when you look at the newspapers or you look at the tenor going on in the city, you know, there was a real sense of what was happening and awareness that Tacoma was going to really suffer from that. Indeed, they did.
What is the value of remembering this history? Is there any particular value to remembering it today, these events?
Well, I mean, I think there's some obvious parallels with just executive orders and just the way we seem to turn to immigration policy or to the condition of others as a way of solving big problems. And I think in a way there's just maybe this is the value of history, is that an episode like this can be played out and the consequences can be just impossible to imagine today. And we still don't record it. We don't seem to learn from it sometimes. And, here we are in the 75th year since this happened, the anniversary of this happening 75 years ago. And still, it seems like there's a modern echo to the thinking behind it in a way.
What are the lessons you think we should take from these events 75 years ago?
One of the things I've been thinking about a lot lately, because my own dad and his family were incarcerated at Tule Lake, which is where a lot of the Tahoma Japanese went, is the impact that our actions now can have for generations. It's their fates and their kids' fates and their grandkids' fates. You know, I wasn't even at camp. Camp history will still affect me physically to this very day, in ways that I could never have predicted or asked for. In my research, I'll look through camp rosters for people, and I'll find the names, the first names, right, of my sister, my cousin, my uncle. I found my own name. So I really want people to think very hard about what they do now and how that will affect people for generations to come.
That was writer Tamiko Nimura and local historian Michael Sullivan speaking with 88.5's Will James. They helped organize Thursday's Tacoma Day of Remembrance, marking the 75th anniversary of the city's Japanese population being forcibly removed. Details about the events and photos are at knkx.org.